Good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. Good morning, team. Are we up and about this morning?
Absolutely. Yes, we're just watching the TV now.
Listeners,
go the Baggers.
The replay's on the TV above me, so, and we've just kicked a goal. Anyway, so tell us, Mel. What have we got on the show today?
Well, we look at the Blues and AFL news, who's putting their hands up from the seconds, and we review the last two games. I think we're going to focus on last night's game.
I would thought so.
We've also got a special guest live interview today with The Buzz, Peter Bazzasto. We cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much-anticipated shirt front. Provide information on WA Blues events and everything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour.
That's great. Thank you.
Craig?
Not yet, Craig. I have to do a big shout-out first. Happy birthday to my daughter in Melbourne.
Oh,
happy birthday, Kirsten.
Happy birthday, Kirsten.
I hope you have a great day. Sorry I can't get over there, but bloody COVID.
Yeah. Anyway. Dad said you'd buy a new car, Kirsten.
She bought herself a new car.
Oh, too late.
There you go. Anyway, Craig. We couldn't do the show every week without our sponsors.
No, look, we definitely can't. We'd like to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and ICU Finance Group.
Is that that ex-soccer player, Alton
from Carlton?
Alton from Carlton.
That's him. Did we see the Matildas last night?
We did.
We did.
No, we didn't. We didn't see it.
We heard the news.
On after we went to extra time, it was after the footy. I watched it.
No, we didn't. We were just
don't care. It's soccer, not going.
It was good. Sam Kerr, the Aussies, they got up.
They Sam, did. Sam yeah. Kerr, two
yeah,
goals.
Two goals. One in awesome. One in extra time. A deflection in extra time as well. So good to see them get up. Aussies doing well. What more can you want?
Carlton winning.
Carlton beating St Kilda.
Yes.
Anyway, that's not a bad segue there, mate. Let's go into... We don't want to talk about the North Melbourne game.
No.
Why don't we talk about what happened last night?
Yeah, we can talk about that, because I've got about a page and a half or 2 pages here on...
Oh, he's going to take the whole hour.
It's a bit of a scathing... No, it's not a really scathing report. We can actually implement this into the game, into today's review as well, I think.
Okay.
It's where the rebuild's at.
Look at him go.
And what's been going on. So before last night's game, I'll quickly rattle this off so we get a bit of perspective. We're currently ranked before last night's game, bottom four for every known defensive stat in the game. That in itself actually hasn't been achieved. Even under Bolton, we hadn't achieved that. And our entire game plan was around defending. Look, just little things that, you know, we were averaging and conceding over an average of 55 points per game from turnovers. When we go forward, our 70% of our entries were always directed to... to Harry Mackay, 50, and this is a big one with our lot. This whole rebuild in general is, you know, we've talked about going to the draft and, you know, developing our players and trying to grow our young talent, etc. 56% of our entire list is made up from players from other clubs. So it's a contradiction in itself there. However, who's our 4 best players, you would probably say? Harry Mackay, Jacob Wiedering, Sam Walsh and Patrick Cripps. Where did we all get them from?
Draft.
The draft. So we'll kind of just leave it at that. The only other one sort of thing I really wanted to say, and I think this is, and I want to talk about to Buzz later on about culture and stuff, because when we took over and started this rebuild and stated this rebuild, we went out and we said, we're not going to be defined on wins and losses, we'll be defined on pressure. And I think when we came out and we said that, we started to lose a bit of the fabric of what the Carlton Footy Club was built on. And it is now time to change that and to finally rectify it all. And last night was a little show that it can work when we get some fit players back on the park. The return of I was going to say Carlton, but Charlie Curnow, the return of Carlton again, the return of Charlie Curnow. That was just fantastic to see that goal he kicked.
Oh, like, his first touch. My gosh.
First touch, one step.
I was like, yeah, boy.
That was so exciting. It was just so good to see him with a smile on his face, to see everyone get around him too. There was just a real nice buzz about it.
It was so good. It's been 761 days since Charlie played footy.
Yep. And he came out and, I think he had the eight possessions. He got through the game. That's the main thing. And, just running around, having a smile. Look, he had a couple of leaps, a few balls, and it was like, okay, like, that's good to see. At least he's attacking the footy. He's not shying away from anything. So that was really important. Look, we didn't overly do too well in all that. We kind of got beaten in most areas on the stat sheets, but the way they were able to defend a little bit more as a whole, Jacob Wiedering, you know, 3 goals in 10 minutes, I think all of us probably would have been sitting in our couches going, oh.
I know there was one particular person that was,
Yeah, but look.
The little fella sitting right there.
He was fired up.
But look, we made a move. We made a change. He started actually getting the ball going a little bit more his way through that first quarter, Wiedering. But we made a change, and we made Wiedering be that more intercepting role, and Jones played a little bit more on King. And I think that worked out quite well.
I think Jones has really stood out.
Yeah, he really did play last night.
Really well.
I thought they would have started with Jones on King, given the extra height and the leap that Jones has got, whereas Wieders is that intercept, plus he's also the work that he'd done against our mate from Geelong, Hawkins.
He's that type of player.
Yeah, whereas I think Joan has the athleticism to go with King better.
Who's Joan?
Jones.
Paddy Dow last night.
Oh, Paddy, wow.
Him and Matt Kennedy really are starting to form quite a nice little partnership in the middle there. You know, we're seeing again the likes of Fisher roll through a little bit, and Jack Martin roll through.
You know what?
Sorry,
can I just say, Kennedy's the last few weeks, the way he's been playing, he's been playing with great passion. He's been really into it, and it's been great to see.
He kicked 2 last week against North Melbourne, but we seemed to play. Obviously, we didn't have Harry and the likes, but he just seemed to play a little bit more forward, where I thought he'd been playing so well in the middle. Just would have left him down there and probably let Cripps spend a little bit more time down forward, but that's in the past now.
Yeah, forget about that game.
Yeah, we'll forget about that. But, like I said, Paddy Dow, his sidestep, his explosiveness, you're starting to see he's kicking, he's lowering the eyes, he's finding
targets. His kicking's improved out of sight. Mm. Yeah, like that, a couple of times he ran out of the middle last night, bang, lace out to Harry. It was...
He's got some confidence about him now.
Yeah, you know? he looks like he's more confident.
He wants to take the game on a little bit. And I'm okay if he gets caught or if he makes... Yeah. But if he's taken the game on, I'm happy. And, you know, he's the guy that he was drafted with back in, 2017 or 18. Lockie O'Brien, his former, the pick 10. He had a brilliant game coming back in. Everyone probably thought, where's he at, you know, as a footballer at this club? I think now he's got a month, three games to go. If he can continue the way he's going, he could possibly lead into and bring some momentum into next season. I don't know where he's at. He's contracted.
His delivery is superb.
Into Harry as well. It was that 45 kick.
Classy left footers are hard to get, mate.
Mm, I don't think anyone can touch him now on the Coleman. I think he's way too far in front. He's on 52.
He's 12 ahead or something.
Yeah, sure. Taylor.
No, I wouldn't say no one yet.
Because Taylor Walker's in second. You've got Harry on 52. You've got Taylor Walker on 46. So Taylor's out.
Yep.
And then behind him, you've got Tom Hawkins. That is the only one that can challenge it. But we've got 3 weeks to go. If Harry kicks, 5 each of those games.
So what's he got now, 57?
No, 52.
52. 52. No, he had 52 leading in, so he must have 57.
57,
yeah. So if he can, get to 65 goals for the season, that would be an absolutely outstanding. We haven't seen anything like that since the Favola days.
Yeah.
So it's been, a good 10 or more years since Favola's pulled on a Carlton jersey, so it's nice to have that.
In saying that, though, when Fev was winning the Coleman, he was on 90-something.
Yeah.
You know.
The game's changed.
Game's changed.
That don't talk about
that was
talking about at the moment.
Josh Honey finally gets his crack in the big time.
He looked good.
And he looked brilliant. He added a little bit of speed, a little bit of pace. He kicked two goals.
That's going to be very interesting when Eddie Betts
comes back. Eddie Betts sit there and go, okay, no, I've seen something, and he passes the baton on? Or do the club still think, okay, maybe keep Eddie, because you never know with injuries, etc., next year?
I know that a few people have been saying that Eddie's got to go again next year.
I'm one of them.
I'm on the Eddie.
I've not said anything. My opinion, Josh Honey's the future, not Eddie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I agree with that. But
the guidance and the
guidance
and the spirituality that he can bring.
Do that as a coach.
You see, like a couple of weeks ago against Collingwood, like when Eddie put us in front, like you're not going to see most small forwards crumb the way he does. So if we can, maybe just hold on to him for, and if he plays 7 games next season, 15 games, whatever it be, I think
they still need him there.
The same with like Ed Kerner. I think he'll
go around.
He'll go around again
because he's just got that voice. You can hear him over without the crowd there. You can hear he's got voice. You know, he's a leader.
There's one.
Tom Williamson.
Oh no, keep going. Tom Williamson.
Yeah. You know, I think
he was good.
Impressive. He was really impressive.
It was. I was saying to a few people yesterday, though, he was an almost sort of game where, you know, he's got that speed, but he just was a little bit fumbly, just overran the ball. But
very
when
clean.
When he got it, he was clean. He got the long clearing kick. He found targets. And then to kick 2 goals, two nice set shots, brilliant for his confidence because he's sort of one that's been on the defense a little bit.
Yep.
And Harry Mackay, 5 goals. And the big one, Jack Sylvain in the ruck.
In the ruck.
What did you guys... Oh, it was brilliant, the way he conducted himself yesterday.
You look at Jack, and then he's a typical Savani. He gives his heart and soul, just doesn't give up, second effort, third effort. And there was actually even a few times last night, he was actually jumping over there, Ruckman.
And he was winning the taps.
Guys, yes. People were laughing at me a few weeks ago when I said to Hive, play Jack in the ruck, and look, he can do it.
Mm. He might have to for the next 3
weeks. He might not have much of a choice. And then it also adds that extra midfielder. It adds a fourth midfielder, a contested midfielder, like we were saying, his follow-up work and stuff. And then I think he may have ended up having 4 or 5 clearances for the game as well, along with 25 and a goal.
Yeah, no, his stats were really good.
It's a sensational performance by him. Look, and then the two sort of leaders in the midfield, Walsh and Cripps, they had 26 each. Walsh kicked 3. Cripper, nice rundown tackle in the middle, got rewarded with the 50-metre. The tackling was a highlight for me. I think we had 70-odd tackles for the game. I think we had 50-odd at half-time. So we brought the pressure, we brought the intent. And when you bring all that, we caused turnovers. We were able to get the ball back into our hands in much more dangerous positions instead of trying to get the ball back real deep in our defence. And, I thought Walsh and Cripps really led the way. It was good to see Cripp as well back up and about because he copped a little bit of flack last week, even though he kicked 3 and had 21. And I thought he wasn't our worst.
I can't believe what people are saying about bloody Cripper and saying that the media has just taken to him to say he's tired, he's run down and all this sort of stuff. But look at him last night. He had the support. Mm. He was able to actually play, you know. Yep. And
he's not going to have the 35, 38 disposals a game and the 15 clearances anymore because, you know.
Other guys are stepping up.
Other people are stepping up and he doesn't have to take on the loads as much. So if he gets his 25 a game, kicks a goal, and if he's bringing the pressure and, you know, getting his 6, 7, 8 tackles a game, then that's all you can ask from a leader. And I don't know what's going to happen next year with the captaincy, whether it becomes a sole captaincy, if they continue with the co-captaincy, but I would nearly be inclined to have just a sole captain to lead our club. I'd stick with Cripper, but
I would stick with Cripper. I don't think Walshy needs it. I don't think he needs the added pressure.
But look, guys,
I think let him.
Yeah.
Let Walshy just shine.
Yeah, let him shine. Let him play. He's still a kid. But look, great performance. And the thing is, you can't hide on Friday night, and we
didn't.
We didn't hide. We didn't go missing.
How good was it to have a Friday night game? We haven't played a Friday night game since round 13 last year. So yeah.
It's our second win on a Friday night out of 14 attempts, I think.
And it's our second win in a row at Arthur's house. So, Arthur, we're coming back.
How we're still a chance of making it absolutely blows me away.
I know. No, that was excellent. It's good to come in after a win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking during the week, oh, my God, the North were...
Well, it was good. I got to throw the angry pills out last night because I had some... pretty alarming stuff on my papers here.
Thanks for that, mate. All right, we're going to skip Blues news because we virtually played last night, so with ins and outs, that's all done. So we're going to go over to Mel for a bit of AFLW news.
AFLW news, we had the draft happen on Tuesday night. Carlton have drafted Annie Lee. She was picked 10.
Good, vulnerable girl, Annie.
And one-eyed Carlton
supporter. One-eyed Carlton supporter.
And you, her old man, Laurie, grew up with Laurie.
Yep.
And I can tell you now, he would be walking around, chest out.
Did you not see the... Oh, I don't know if you guys watched it, but the annihilation on the family's face. They were so proud.
Cripper gate crash.
Yeah. No, that was actually Keely Shearer.
No, it wasn't. It was Annie Lee. They had a bit of a thing that Laurie had said, if she gets drafted, we'll put the...
Cripper up.
The Cripper up. And,
that's what that was. I've seen him say g'day to them as well.
Yeah.
When they got introduced at Icon Park the other day as well.
Apparently she's just over... I've had a few chats with Laurie, and apparently she's just over the moon.
That's good.
It's good to see. Sorry, Mel.
No, also, we've also got Keely Shearer, who is also...
A one-eyed Carlton supporter.
So it is so great to have. And then we've also... We can't forget Brooke Vickers and Imogen Milford. And also, we got...
Young girl from Sturt.
We did. And Jess Good. Now, she's 26-year-old. She's a midfielder. She's going to be helping out Bree Mooney. We've now got two big midfielders coming in. We've got a full forward, which is going to help with the replacement of Taylor. So, guys, it's very exciting. It's all future to go forward.
Mm. I actually think the girl we got from Sturt, I think she actually played basketball with...
Yeah, she's a basketballer.
With Karen Harrington.
And that's why they reckon she's going to be really good in the ruck. Yeah. So she's got size, she's got maturity, so it should be great.
A good draft by the AFLW side.
We talked
about that. Well, Chris, you talked about the other week about, we're going to the draft because of the new sides coming in.
Yeah.
Best, all that. Best to do.
Looks like we've got a few beauties too.
What I will say is I was pretty sad to see the... other Prisparkis be picked at
Geelong.
I know that hurt a little bit. She got Geelong. She was picked too.
Yeah, in a couple of years she'll be at Carlton.
Anyway, it's time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we've got none of the greatest, greatest mark I've seen at Princes Park.
Ever.
The Buzz, Peter Bozzasto. Go Blues. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to one of the most mercurial footballers we had at Princes Park, the Buzz, Peter Bozzasto. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, all. It's very good to wake up to a Blues victory.
That it is, awesome. Peter. That it is, mate.
We're pumped in here today.
We're up and about a bit today, mate.
Yes.
Yeah. Mate, look, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, tomorrow, and I don't want to speak as if we're getting older, which we are, but tomorrow will be 40 years to the day that you took Mark of the Year over John Mossop of Geelong at the Heatley Stand in Princes Park. What are your memories of that famous grab, mate?
Oh, look, it was only 10 years ago, wasn't it? Come on.
I wish it was, Pete.
I wish it was too, mate. No, one of the, I suppose, highlights in the history of, AFL, and as you just mentioned there, 40 years, guys, it just seems like it was, not too long ago, but it's certainly standing the annals of time, isn't it? And, very proud, very humble, of course, and... it was a great year for the Blues that year, and for myself and a guy called Ken Hunter, guys who come across from Melbourne with me. And, we had a fantastic season in 81, and many, many highlights to two guys. Kenny Hunter was just such a courageous player, and myself at the other end. So, you know, we shored up a half-back flank, of course, and then we shored up a half-forward flank with ourselves being recruited by Carlton. And, you know, it was two very, very wise decisions to sign both of us.
You're not wrong, Greg. You're not
correct.
Go, Mel.
Hey, Buzz, you've just touched... Oh, morning, Buzz, by the way. You made your debut in 81, and what a year it was. You took Mark of the Year, Goal of the Year, and also a Premiership medal in your first year. Can you explain the emotion, how much that year meant to you?
Look, unbelievable, and... I think, you know, going across in, you know, well, it started probably in late 80, guys. You know, the coaching staff got changed over. David Parkin, the fantastic mentor and, you know, people manager, took over the club. And, you know, Kenny Hunter and I, Mel, played our last game against each other at Laflane Park. There's 3,000 people there. Good on you, Buzz. Good on you, Kenny. You know, you could hear every comment. And, you know, and that's a month later... we got a phone call. Kenny Hunter got a phone call, and he said, David Parkin here, Ken, wants you to come across and, you know, get used to the culture and history and tradition of this fantastic, great club. And I want to try you on a half-back line. Now, guys, listen to this half-back line. Bruce Doyle, Val Perovic, and Kenny Hunter.
Pretty good.
And, of course, Kenny Hunter. I've got tingles going down my spine at the moment, too. And then Kenny said, look, Coach, I'm over in a week's time. He rang me the next day and said exactly the same thing. And he said, Buzz, you know, come over early and get used to the culture and history and tradition of this great club. We've won premierships. We're leading the premiership tally. And I want to try you on a half-forward line of Wayne the Dominator Johnson, Mark McClure, and yourself. And, you know, I went across there, guys, and Kenny Hunter, the introvert, of course, me as the extrovert. I was the one that shot my mouth off and, you know, told me how good I was and how high I could jump. And Lou Richards came out one day and he said, Peter, we've heard all about you. You can do this and do that and do the other. And I said, exactly that. I said, Lou, I can jump as high as this grandstand. I could kick free goals. I can tackle like a machine. And he put it in the paper the next morning. I was in big trouble. Of course, the game come on the Saturday. We played Richmond, the traditional game, of course, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, gosh, you know, we go out to Waverley and there's traffic jams and there's 77,000 people at the first game, run out onto the ground and just did what everyone did, absolutely panicked. Run around the place like a headless chook for about 20-25 minutes. I eventually saw the white-vested chap come over, which was called the runner. He never minced his words. He said, you're big-headed so-and-so from Western Australia. You know, you've shot your mouth off and you can't get near the ball. Parkin sent him back to me and he just said, you know, take a 3D press, you know, look around the stadium, take it all in. And, you know, it was the best sound advice because I was on the plane at the 20-minute mark of the first quarter in my first game because I just really couldn't get used to the, you know, the power of the crowd, fellas, you know, and... this is what it was all about. And Carlton and Richmond, of course, was, you know, the first game and it was very, very well attended to. But, no, look, to answer the question, you know, it wasn't a fluke that, you know, Kenny and I picked Carlton. You know, we were, you know, scouted for probably 18 months, fellas, you know, to, you know, to sign contracts with Carlton. I think, Chris, you probably know that I did sign with you know, North Melbourne 2 years prior to that when Ron Joseph came over. Yep. And unfortunately, they let a Form 4 go, which is a contract if you went to Melbourne, you had to play for that particular side. So thank goodness for me. Carlton actually found that in those days, guys, it was a 20-game father-son. And my father actually played 20 games for Carlton and eventually they got me on the father-son rule.
Yep.
That was good.
But what I've got to tell the listeners, and you definitely remember this, Pete, and I was there at Princess Park because I'm a Melbourne boy, even though I've been living in Perth here now for 10 years.
No, well, I wasn't even
born. In your
born.
Second game, and I was there at Princess Park, we were kicking to the scoreboard end and yep. You gave one of the best hip and shoulders to the big Robert DiPiodomenico and broke his sternum in the second round. Now, you know what he was like? He was rough and tough, mate, but geez, you took him out. Yeah. You took him out. You didn't play again for the rest of the year, I don't think.
Well, look, there's a story there, and let me paint the picture for you, listeners. And, you know, it was about the 10-minute mark of the first quarter. I used to go down and help that great half-back line, you know, Brucey Doyle and Kenny Hunter, and picked up the ball off a Brucey Doyle hand pass, speared a 55-metre bullet to our great captain, Mike Fitzpatrick. Now, in those days, Mel, I used to run the 100 in about, 10 flat, 9-9, you know, that sort of thing.
About the same time as me, Buzz.
And I was out on him in a flash, and, he didn't give me the handball, so I ran around the back of him. And there was the Dipper, who was just about to puff the chest out, and, you know, how he blocked people. And before he can get his arms up to protect himself, I thought to myself, shall I run one way, shall I run the other? I said, oh, no, damn it, I'll run straight through him, which I did. And I broke his sternum in about six or seven different places. So, yes, it was one of those, unfortunate ones where you've got to protect yourself in modern-day footy. And, of course, they're doing the same thing now with the head, aren't they? The head sacrosanct now. And, in those days, we used to put the old bumper bars up. Chris, the old bumper bars with the elbows.
Yep.
And, you used to have use those to protect yourself. But, that was the Hawthorn. That was my second game. And I don't think the Hawthorn... the crowd were too happy with me, but thankfully, Chris, it was a actual Carlton game, so there was about 40,000 Carlton people there and about 4,000 Hawthorn. So, no report, no nothing, and it was just one of those things in play.
Yeah, mate. Look, I know we've only touched on two games of your career so far, but I'm gonna throw something in here, mate. As I said earlier, I'm a Melbourne boy.
Yep.
Born and bred, lived there for many years. I think you dominated more so at the understand, mate, than actually on the field.
No, of course, you're bringing that up.
I'll just leave it at that, Pete.
I've got 63 more games to tell you about.
Yeah, I know that. We're still going to talk about that, but I just wanted to throw that out there, mate, because the nights in the understand were just unbelievable after a game of footy. So it was fantastic.
Well, you go in there with the big wow. Now, wow is 7 foot tall and a commanding personality, and the Dominator was in there as well, and it was like Moses, that the Red Sea parted when the big wow and the Dominator went in there. So. we used to just go in behind him and enjoy ourselves. And there was a special marked-off area for us, of course. But, the disco in those days, or nightclub, whatever you want to call it. And, it was very, very much frequented by a lot of the Carlton players.
Yeah, that it was, mate.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying anything else.
It's, Buzzy, it's interesting you talk about Wayne Johnson and Mark McClure. It was pretty. You stated fairly clearly that they were two guys that you wanted to play with. I know, again, I'm a Victorian boy as well too, so watching Carlton, Wayne Johnson to me was, come finals time, he was a different man. So what was it actually like playing with your two heroes?
Yep, I think McClure is very, very underrated as well.
Yep.
He did a lot of that heavy work for the Mosquito Fleet. Now, we've got, six or seven... really, really fast nippy players under 6 foot. I'm talking about Ashman and Marku and Sheldon and Buckley and, Harmsey and the Dominator himself. And, McClure did a lot of that heavy work to bring the ball to the ground. And, we had a very, very good system there, though, that, that I think the current side hasn't got. And, last night was their first opportunity to play the big two Twin Towers down forward. And it looked to me, guys, that it worked pretty good. So we've got something, pretty well there to look forward to when Charlie Curno and Kai get used to each other, and that would be good. But McClure generaled that actual area there, and I think that's the point. The point that I'm trying to make here, that Carlton in those days, guys, had a general on every line. You had Southby at that one end, you had then Doolin Hunter on a back, then you had Greg Wells and Phil Malin on the wings, and you had McClure and Johnson, and then you had... Fitzpatrick, and then you had, Wow Jones, Ashman, these sort of guys. So they had a general on every line, and they told you what to do. And, even though they played the game off the field very, very hard, once that siren went and about the Tuesday come, the Carlton footy side of the early 80s, was just a side that you wanted to play with. A couple of questions I had before. I just really wanted to play with that side. They won the 79 grand final, against Collingwood. They had a couple of changes towards 80. Unfortunately, they got knocked out in straight sets in 1980 when Percy Jones had them. But McClure and Johnson, it was no secret that I wanted to team with them. And I think in the end it was a very, very good half forward line. I would put Pitt any half forward line up there against that particular line. And even at the other end, too, guys, you know, with the half-back line of that of Dool, Perovic and Hunter, I think that would stand the test of time as well. And Brucey Dool, no one ever got any more kicks. And, of course, you know, Val Perovic, absolutely unbelievable player. And, of course, Kenny Hunter, Mr. Courageous. So, you know, it was an absolute pleasure for me and privilege to play with that side. And, you know, I do flippantly, you know, say, you know, flamboyant things about myself. But, you know, very, very humble to play with that side. And, you know, they were the consummate professional team. And, you know, as I mentioned before, absolute pleasure to play with them.
Hey, mate, because of this COVID that's going on at the moment, you actually would have been in Melbourne and you would have had a big reunion yesterday for the 81-82 Premiership. So I know it's been postponed and it's going to happen again. Mate, you've had COVID's been a shocker, and you've had a few things cancelled. You've even got that night down there that they've organised for you, but again, that's been put back to the end of August. So hopefully we can get out soon and we can actually get along. And because, mate, I can tell you, I'm looking forward to the 81-82 reunion.
Yeah, I think it's something that people will be looking forward to, Chris, going out. I think Melbourne people have missed that, haven't they? And, you know, the Carlton people, you know, love their footy and, you know, they do frequent the games. But, you know, it's still not capacity, is it, that, you know, when we see Carlton play. And, you know, I feel that, you know, the next couple of weeks would be good. We can try a couple of young kids. Young Honey yesterday was pretty good. And, you know, Kennedy keeps on improving and... they brought O'Brien back for his first game and for a while. But, you know, there is some good signs there, isn't there? So, but, you know, there is a little bit of turmoil in the club at the moment. And, you know, the board has, you know, has got things to, I think, iron out. But, you know, I think with Carlton and their members, and I think we're up around about 80,000 at the moment, Chris. 82,000 or something.
Yeah, 82.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And people are starting to get back to us. And I think that... you know, it is time that, it's about time that the mighty Carlton Football Club, you know, get back into that top eight.
Yeah, mate, you're wrong there. Go, Jesse.
Buzz, you mentioned culture earlier on. Could you give us a little, and obviously it's been, that word's been thrown around about the club during the week after the performance against North Melbourne. But can you give us a little bit of an insight into the culture at the club and how important it was for the playing group that you played with?
Very good question, actually. And, the first time that sort of Ken and I got to there, you know, a long time ago, as we mentioned, you know, you had a Carlton way and that David Parkin had actually, you know, written up and you had to follow all these rules and regulations. It was how to play football. It was how to do things in a certain situation. You know, your stance in community, your stance in the football club, you know, don't bring the football club into disrepute or anything like that. And, you know, contracts were written up that you couldn't do this and couldn't do that and couldn't do the other because you belong to the Carlton Football Club at the time. I've got a bit angry and you know, a bit upset with Charlie Curnow doing all these extracurricular things, you know, during off-season, guys, you know, and I think you know what I'm talking about there, skateboarding and, you know, and basketball and that sort of thing. And, you know, your culture, of course, is, you know, your commitment to the Carlton Football Club. And, you know, when I went across there in 1980, guys, you know, I just absolutely revered that jumper. You know, the CFC jumper, Mel, no one got that jumper except the people that earned it. And you had to earn it by, you know, by signing with the club and, you know, you deserve to win that jumper to use it and wear it on the Saturday. And it was a woven jumper. It was a wool jumper. No one was able to go to a retail shop and buy that particular jumper. They've got these jumpers now that are all triacetate and, you know, polyester and that sort of thing. So, you know, the old jumper with the old Avco and the old VFL jumper is a revered jumper. And it's, you know, the culture in that club. And, you know, I played 8 or 9, 10 games and people are saying, gee, Buzz, you know, you might be the, you know, in front in the Brownlow. Well, that didn't really worry me at the time. I was just absolutely pinching myself that I was allowed and I got the opportunity to wear that Carlton Football Club jumper, who at that stage, guys, was the greatest football club and maybe sporting club in Australia at that time.
You're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. Go, Mel, quick.
Buzz, touching on the Guernsey, can you talk us through 84 when you returned to Perth and you struggled to get back into the Guernsey and the incident that ruled you out?
Yeah, Mel, that was 1984.
Yep.
I played with the Perth Footy Club. I'd signed with them, and unfortunately, my father contracted leukemia. And in those times, Mel, we didn't really know how much about leukemia at the time. And, of course, as you know, leukemia is a blood disorder, and Dad was getting transfusions every 3 to 4 months, and he was sort of waning a little bit when I come back in late 83, and I decided just to stay in 84 just to take the pressure off him. And we had two sports shots, even getting a third one at the time, and I just sort of thought to myself, I'll come back and take the pressure off him and manage one of the shops and, you know, just sort of take over the buying. But, you know, I played pretty good footy with Perth, and I kicked 50 goals in the first 13 games or something that I played there, and we unfortunately couldn't make the finals. And Carlton come across in around about 10th of June, 15th of June, and said, Peter, well, look, you know, why don't you come back and play the rest of the season in Melbourne? Because, you know, we're going to make the finals, and it'd be great to have you back in the side. And I just said to him at the time, look, I'll leave it up to both sides. In the end, Mel, just to cut a long story short, it failed. We unfortunately, I heard about 10, 15 years later that it was all over a $5,000 clearance fee. Perth wanted $25,000 for a clearance for the rest of the year. Carlton were only prepared to pay $20,000. Mel, you and I would have paid the $5,000 to get me back to Carlton and play in that, you know,
definitely,
in that side. Nice. So it was disappointing. I regret it hugely. You know, you mentioned that incident that happened, you know, about three or four weeks later. Now, they reckon I didn't play well in 84, Mel. You know, I played in two state games. Now, you don't get played state games if you're not playing good footy or you're not playing pretty well, you know. And those games in those days was just absolutely unbelievable. The Tuesday afternoon game... guys, was absolutely fantastic. I played in two of them that was with 3 points that we won. And the 84, I played in that as well, and we won by 3 points as well. That day, actually, Mel, was an introduction of a superstar to the game, a bloke called Gary Ablett Sr.
Yep.
He kicked 9 goals from a wing, would you believe? Yep. That's how good that particular person was, and it was absolutely fantastic to play on a field with him. And, you know, he showed his worth in that particular game there. But... I played that game. You know, we won the game again by 3 points about 3 or 4 weeks later. In those days, guys, as you probably remember, the 30th of June was a shutdown date for clearances. You could interact with and go to clubs in those days before the 30th of June deadline. And that's what Carlton were looking for, to get the clearance before the 30th of June. And unfortunately, that couldn't happen about middle of July. I come off the ground, kicked 6 or 7 goals against Subiaco. We lost by a couple of points and got to the top of the race. I got about baited by a couple of people down the bottom and saying, you're a traitor, and, you know, you should have gone, you should have dug it off, all that sort of thing. I got to the top of the race, and one of the doormen said, oh, Buzz, don't worry about that. You know, you played very well, goal to A. And I just lashed out and put my hand through one of those shower screen glass windows, Mel, and I got it in okay, but I had to pull it out and severed about, you know, 4 or 5 nerves and a couple of tendons, and it wasn't a pretty sight with blood streaming out. But I had the operation that night, and unfortunately for me, the best hand surgeon in the world happened to be visiting WA at the time, a gentleman called Dr. Sean Hamilton, and he got me up and ready by March of next year in the 1985 season. So very, very lucky not to lose the hand, but. Thank you very much to Dr. Hamilton for the surgery.
Yeah, mate. Look, mate, we're going to have to wrap it up. But Pete, we didn't even touch on the grand finals. We're going to have to get you back on, mate. But we've got to go for a break. But, mate, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community over here, thank you very much for some of the great memories and sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as I said before, we're going to have to get you back on because we haven't even touched on the premierships, mate. So,
no, thank you very much, guys. And, look, it's fantastic to talk to the Blues community, and... you know, we don't get a lot over here, do we? But, you know, we're starting to bridge that gap. And I feel we're in for the next, I think next year we're in for a really, really good season. So Blues supporters have gone away from us. You know, keep supporting that mighty CFC on the front of the jumper because, you know, they'll give you every pleasure. They'll give you every pain and suffering, of course, as well, guys. But, you know, it's a fantastic club to barry for.
Yeah, no,
thanks very much, guys, and have a great show.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Buzz.
Thank you.
Cheers, Mel. Ciao.
Ciao.
Peter Bezosso, everyone.
Absolute
anyway,
champion.
Your champion. Anyway, we're running a bit late. Time to go and get some words from our sponsors. And when we return, we've got none other than David the Hype and Reece Jones. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
We've been playing against the famous old dark blue.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist and premiership hero. I talk of none other than the hyphen, David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David. And, mate, we're all up and about after a great win last night.
Go the Baggers.
What a difference a week makes, eh?
Huge difference.
Mate. Yeah, I must admit, though, I did say last week I was a bit concerned that the lack of height and lack of forwards was going to be our downfall, and obviously that was it. And with great to see Charlie back last night and Harry, you know, amongst the goals again. So it really does make a difference, you know. Poor Cripper had to go down to full forward and be the target last week, and good to see him back in the midfield doing well last night again. So things were looking a bit more back to normal last night, but it was a really good win, and I just wish they had finished it off in that last quarter. Mm. I would have loved to have seen them get a good four quarter, you know, win every corner sort of thing. But obviously they took their foot off the pedal a little bit in the last quarter, but great result. Mm.
It's funny you're just talking about Harry and Charlie. I brought it. We're having a bit of a chat before we come in, and just having Charlie there makes a huge difference to Harry, because Harry was able to get quite a few one-on-ones last night, because even though Charlie's just come back, they still were paying a bit of attention to him. So it just freed that flexibility up there to get Harry more one-on-one.
Yeah, it does. And look, it wouldn't matter, you know, if it was Casbolt or McGovern or McDonald or any of those players who are not problems that are all injured, but just that extra tall out there just takes a little bit of pressure off. And Charlie being Charlie, you know, he was a bit quiet on the night, but, you know, he's going to work himself into it and, you know, get a taste of, you know, what is it, four or five games to finish this season off and get into a pre-season and hit the ground running next year and very exciting days ahead of us.
Hive, I was really impressed with Kennedy, and he's impressed me for the last couple of weeks. How good is it to see him actually finding his straps?
Yeah, look, he's been given that a bit more license through the midfield, and that's been good for him. And even last week, he rotated a bit with Cripper through that midfield forward type role, and taken on a bit of responsibility. And you know, the other ones, Jack Silvani, I mean, we've, you know, just how good's he playing at the moment in a role that he's not built for, and but he just gives his all. When De Conning went down, I thought, well, you know, St Kilda had two good big men out there, but young Jack was unbelievable, actually. So yeah, it's terrific.
Hi, Josh Honey slotted in seamlessly last night as well. His pace, his pressure. I think we had 79 tackles for the game and 10 tackles inside 50, which we're not really renowned for. Do you think bringing that sort of pressure into the game, and especially the game that Josh Honey played, worked out in our favour?
I hope we start bringing more players in too, and players who are not performing, you know, well, let's put them out. That's what happened. SBS, you know, has been had a very up and down season, and while he's, you know, got the potential, he's got to show a bit more an aggressive nature and a determined nature. I thought Josh Honey, you know, he's involved a few goal assists very early in the game too. So it wasn't, you know, he got himself into the game very early. So yeah, it's good to see, and it's good to see some names who you know, we haven't seen much of, and hopefully we're going to see a lot more of over the next few years.
It was interesting you brought up Sauce, because I was going to bring that up myself. Look, it just shows, you know, he's the determination and just the second efforts. And I actually, a few times last night in the ruck, he was actually out jumping the actual ruckman from St Kilda.
Yeah, and winning taps. And yeah. And as you said, he was following up too, and that was a good thing about it. It reminded me a bit of
Cruiser.
Sean Grigg a few years back for Richmond, when they went without a ruckman basically in their team, and but once the ball hit the deck, you know, Jack was terrific, and he followed up, and I think he had about 25 possessions too himself. So it's a good night out for him, and something they can be proud of. Because you know, but what do we do next week? I mean, you know, the ruck stocks are pretty low at the moment. The big game stocks with the Conning. So hopefully he's not badly injured, but yeah, I think Dittner's still a couple of weeks away too. So yeah, it's still a little bit lower than we'd like in the big man stakes, but it's just the attitude of the players who, you know, took on those roles, and Jack was superb. And, you know, I don't think we've ever seen him pull that Carlton Guernsey on and not have a crack. So,
definitely.
He's terrific.
It was good to see, especially last night, there's around the contest, a bit more structure around the ball. Definitely wasn't there against North Melbourne. But even more so last night, when we didn't have the ball, the way we worked, the way we were actually able to transition a little bit better, it was much more on show last night than what it was against North Melbourne.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we just looked better on paper, you know, the team, the structure, and, you know, until De Conning sort of went down, but, you know, we're able to cope with that. So, but, you know, tackling and chasing and the little things, the 1% as we talk about so often, they were all up last night. So, obviously, I did hear they copped a bit of a spray during the week, and Eddie Goods came out and said that it wasn't pretty to look at. So, you know, some truths were probably told, and that normally fires people up and gets them doing what they should be doing.
Hi, there's been, like we touched on it a little earlier in the show, there's been a lot of talk about Cripper in the media, and he's copped a bit of a bashing about his form. But how good was it to see last night Cripper have support and actually be able to play? Like, you know, not all the pressure just on him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, you know, someone like Kennedy coming in and being able to do a bit of that inside work certainly helps Cripper. And, you know, look, he Cripper just has a go. He's a bull, and sometimes, you know, the game doesn't suit the way he's playing. It's open and flowing, and other times it's nice and tight, and that's what he loves. So I think he's, you know, his expectations are high because a couple of years ago he was picking up a lot of the ball, but look, the opposition are paying a lot more attention to him these days than what they were back then. So they realise how dangerous and what a great player and a great leader he is for our club.
It was nice to see Lachie O'Brien finally get another go at the senior level, and I think it showed how vital actually having a designated winger in your side plays for the rest of the team.
Yeah, and he hits targets too. I think that's another important thing. You know, and hopefully he can string a couple of games together because, you know, this back end of the season is going to be defining for guys like Lachie O'Brien. And, you know, if they can stand up, you know, he's a pretty low draft pick too. He's a first rounder. So he's obviously got the ability, but he needs to stand up right through. And it's a good start for him. I think his confidence will be up, but let's hope he can finish the season off very well and establish himself in the side. Yeah, because that outside run and you know, as I said, he hits targets when he does get the ball too. So that's also very, very important these days.
I think looking forward to next week, hopefully McGovern gets through the VFL game today and shows enough because I think it's going to be good and interesting to see having Harry, Charlie and McGovern up in that forward line for the first time probably in 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, McGovern's going to pick up a third string defender as well, so that gives him a great opportunity. And, yeah, so it's, yeah, look, getting a bit of height back in the team, and especially down that forward line. And as long as they can work it out that they're not getting in each other's road, you know, that's the future. We're starting to look at the future of what Carlton Footy Club's going to look like and how dangerous we're going to be.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And I was impressed with the back line too. I mean, King got out of the blocks and kicked three goals early, and we're thinking, God, you know, this is looking bad. But to Weeder's credit, he just kept plugging away, and he got the better of King down forward.
Hive, just touching on that, Widders gave away a free kick. We all saw that one. But how one-sided was the bloody umpiring? I was so furious. And
Bruce loves the umpires.
Yeah, look, I think I put something on Facebook not long after quarter time about what beat St Kilda and the umpires. So we did. I don't know, I can't understand umpires. So I never have been able to, so just get on with it.
Hive, do you expect Brody Kemp to at least get a run maybe once or twice before the end of the season?
Yeah, look, if he's earned it, you know, I mean, obviously we don't see much of the VFL and they've played over the last few weeks, but, I'd like to see Jack Carroll get a run as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there are a couple of young kids who I think a lot of Carlton people are waiting to see. But look, hopefully this team will keep playing as they did on last night and not allow anyone to come into the team. I mean, the team needs to be picked on form, and I think the players who went out this week haven't been in good form, and you know, obviously there's some players down below who are in good form. So, I think that's got to include Mark Murphy too. I don't think he can be gifted his 300 games or whether they're just going to use him off that injured bench sort of thing to get him there. But I'd love to see it. Kemp and Carroll and a few others, given an opportunity late in the season. It'll encourage them going forward and pre-season and something to look forward to and get a taste of it.
Yeah, you're not wrong, mate. Anyway, we better wrap it up. Mate, how's Freedom out of lockdown down in Melbourne? All good?
Oh, yeah. Freedom. Yeah, I don't know. We're still... It's never going to be the same again here, I don't think. Yeah. Still on masks everywhere we go and logging into any shop you go into or whatever. So it's... It's a different world we're living in at the moment, but anyway, we're going to have to get used to it. I'm kind of hard to get used to it, but one of those things we have to do.
Ah, it's all good, mate. All right, thanks again, mate, for giving up your time, and let's hope we have another great... We don't know. I know we're playing next Saturday, yeah. But I don't know what time and that type of thing yet, but let's hope... Well, let's enjoy this win and go Blues, mate.
Go Blues.
Go the Baggers.
We've all got a smile on our face, so go Blues.
Yeah,
thanks,
definitely.
See you, mate.
Thanks.
There you go, David Rhys-Jones. Now, we've only got a very, very short period of time left. Now, as I mentioned, we've got the Gold Coast next Saturday. We know it's Saturday. We don't know what time. So we're trying to get two functions left for the year, and that'll be one, and it'll be the last game against the Giants. So all listeners out there, just check the Facebook page to see where we're having our function and what time and that type of thing for the next... there's three rounds to go, so next week and the last round. And all guys, we're up and about. We've had a great win. As always, another great show. Peter the Buzz Bazusta. We can enjoy our week with a smile on our face. Peter was great. We didn't even touch on the 81-82 grand final.
Next time.
So we'll have to get him back on. But he was good. And as always, David, who gives up his time every week.
Legend.
Reece. Champion.
And again, happy birthday, my daughter, Kirsten. Look after yourself. Sorry I can't get down to Melbourne. But anyway, so keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always on this show,
go Blues.
Go the Baggers.
Against the famous Old Dog.